words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be of good pleasure in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. The text of our sermon today comes from Psalm 89, verse 37. It shall be established as the moon to eternity, and as the faithful witness in the clouds. The moon is said here in respect to the truth of faith, and a faithful witness in the clouds signifies that he is the divine truth, for witness in reference to the Lord signifies that which proceeds from him, and as that is his, it witnesses respecting him. We read in the beginning from the book of Genesis about how faith was established through the regeneration of man. And on the fourth day, it says the sun and the moon were made and that they were as one. Because as we know, the light of the moon, which represents faith, the truths of faith, receive their light from the good of charity or the sun. If there is no sun, the moon does not give its light. And what was happening at the time is this was being lost. It was a gradual stage to begin the faith, but then the faith became perverted. And so we read in the work of De Verbo, number 17, since it has been foretold that in the end of this church, that's the end of the present day church, the darkness would also arise from a lack of knowledge and acknowledgement of the Lord, and that he is the God of heaven and the earth, and from a separation of faith and charity, whereby the genuine understanding of the word has perished. Therefore, it has pleased the Lord now to reveal the spiritual sense of the word, and to show that what the word treats of in the sense about the Lord and of the church, yea, of them only, and to show many other things which by the light of truth, almost extinguished, may be restored. That the light of truth at the end of the church would be extinguished is what's meant by the words in Matthew. Immediately after the affliction of those days, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Then they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven, with glory and power. By the sun is here meant the Lord as to divine love, and by the moon the Lord as to faith, by the stars the Lord as to the knowledges of good and truth, and by the clouds the sense of the letter of the word, and by the glory his spiritual sense, and by the Son of Man the Lord as the word. And so it was, as men turned to themselves and to the world, that they lost both the light of the sun and its heat, and they also lost the light of the moon, because genuine faith perished when it was separated from charity. When the two are separated, it's like an eclipse of the moon, where in one prophecy it says the moon turns to blood, and so we see a blood red over the moon, when the earth interposes itself between the sun and the moon. And so it was that the church fell away from genuine faith, even to the point today when we mention the word faith, people think instead of the truths of faith, instead of seeing, or instead of what the heavenly doctrine says, that faith is the eye of love. Instead of that, we think of blind faith, in believing in something that we don't understand, in putting our faith in the Lord simply because we can't see it ourselves. But faith is far much more than that. It's the bright light of the moon shining down. It goes on in Arcana Celestia, it says, the evil of the most ancient church, which existed before the flood, as well as that of the ancient church after the flood, and also that of the Jewish church, and subsequently the evil of the new church or the church of the Gentiles after the coming of the Lord, and also that of the church of the present day, was and is that they do not believe the Lord or the word, but themselves and their own senses. It's the evil of every church when they stop believing the Lord and his word and instead believe themselves and what they can see with their physical eyes. It goes on to say, hence there is no faith, and where there is no faith, there is no love of the neighbor. Consequently, all is evil and false. At this day, however, it is much worse than at former times, because men can now confirm their unbelief by the senses of the memory knowledges or scientifics unknown to the ancients. And this has given birth to an indescribable degree of darkness. If men knew how great is this darkness from this cause, they would be astounded. And so it is that at the present day, faith in what the Lord says, we could say, is at an all-time low. Men believe what they can see with their senses. They do not believe what the Lord has told them. This is generally true. Although many people do believe in things they cannot see, such as heaven and the Lord, but when it starts coming into something they can see, and the Word speaks about that, then they prefer the light of the world to the light of heaven. We hear this in the Divine Love and Wisdom, number 46. It says, from this it can be seen how sensually, that is, how much from the bodily senses and their blindness in spiritual matters, do those think who maintain that nature is from herself. They think from the eye and are not able to think from the understanding. Thought from the eye closes the understanding, but thought from the understanding opens the eye. And that is what the heavenly doctrines give us. It gives us a new understanding so that our eyes may be open. So instead of seeing things in natural light, we'll be able to see them in the light of heaven. Because the heavenly doctrine is full of so many things said from the light of heaven. Sometimes they're hard to understand, sometimes they're hard to believe because they are so bright. Not because they're written in cryptic language, not because they're covered over like in the letter of the word, but because of the very glory and power itself that enlighten our mind and enlighten the word. And so, what we have, and this is in the beginning of the new church, we have what's called the moon under her feet. Because when the new church comes into the world, it's shining like the sun. It has a crown of stars in the heavens. As to the body, as to the head, the new church is in enlightenment. It has the knowledge of good and truth. It shines with the sun of the good of charity and love to the Lord. And yet, in respect to natural things, it says the moon is under her feet. Faith is weak. And in the Apocalypse Explained, which explains this, we even see that it's weaker than we might think. For in the Apocalypse Explained 708, we read the following about describing those who are as the moon under the feet, or what it is for faith of the new church in its beginning in the natural. It says, those who receive the light of intelligence from the Lord as the sun are those whose intellect and rational have been opened, and who have in consequence thought rationally about what should be believed from a spiritual affection of truth. While those who receive light from the Lord as a moon are those in whom the intellectual and interior rational have not been opened, but are only natural, and in consequence have thought from the memory about what should be believed. And to think from this, from the memory, is to think only from such things as they have heard from a teacher or a preacher, which they call truths and believe to be truths, although they may be mere falsities, since they are not seen beyond the memory. If such, while in the world, were also in the faith of charity, they are in the heavens under the Lord as a moon. For the lumen from which their intelligence is like the moon's lumen or light in nighttime, while the light which is from the intelligence of those who are in the heavens under the Lord is as a sun in the light of day. And so, although this is speaking of those in the world and those on the earth, of those in the higher heavens and those in the merely natural heavens, we can also think of it in terms of our own faith. Very few of us have trouble believing in the Lord himself, except maybe in times of real stress when we see some horrible thing. But in everyday life, it's easy to believe in the Lord. It's easy to believe in heaven. It's easy to believe in the things that we don't see. And yet, when it comes to something that has to say about our natural life in this world, when it starts telling us about things around us in nature, when the heavenly doctrine reaches down into the natural, then it is, in the beginning of the new church, like the moon under their feet. because there's a sense of believing in those in authority. Today, just about everybody believes what a scientist would tell them, simply because they heard him and he's a man of great authority. Whereas when somebody says something from the Word, a doubt comes to their mind, because they need to think about it, they need to understand it, whereas they believe many things that science says without the least understanding of it, because it's been said from authority. And this number goes on to talk about those. One of the reasons is because there's something of self in it, because we would look good, our reputation would be there, whereas we might look silly if we believed in something the Lord said that didn't really fit with what most people in the world believe. And so, because of this, we have a hard time believing. Let's just take one example of what the writings teach us, what the heavenly doctrine teaches us, to see what the difference between the faith of those who are in the heavens versus the faith of those who are in the earth. It says in the Earth's in the Universe, number 112, that there are also inhabitants on the moon, spirits and angels know. And in like manner, that there are inhabitants on the moons or satellites which revolve around the Earth, Jupiter, and Saturn. They who have not seen and spoken with spirits therefrom still do not doubt that there are also men upon them, because they are equally Earths. And where there is an Earth, there are men. For man is the purpose for which every Earth was created, and nothing was made by the great Creator without an end or a purpose. That the human race is the end of creation, and that it is from it there may be a heaven, may appear to everyone who thinks from a somewhat enlightened reason. In other words, thinking from the Word tells us that there are men on all these planets. For we read in the book of Isaiah, chapter 45, verse 18, "For thus says Yahuwah, who created the heavens, God himself, who formed the earth and made it. He has established it. He has created it not to be empty. He has formed it to be inhabited. I am Yahuwah, and there is none else." And so from looking at it from spiritual light rather than natural light, when we look at it and see it from the purpose that the Lord creates things, from what is good and true, we can see an inhabited earth. But when we think of it merely from natural light, from the light of a telescope, from the mind of a scientist who only believes in his senses, it's very hard to believe. For the moon is, as it were, under her feet. Faith is difficult to have when we do not think from the spiritual light, and yet the heavenly doctrine has given us so much light to think from. It talks about how in Divine Love and Wisdom, number 315, it says, "It should be known that the heat, light, and atmospheres of the natural world contribute nothing at all to this image, the heavenly image of creation, but that it is attributed solely to the heat and light of the atmospheres of the sun of the spiritual world. These carry that image with them and impart it to the forms of use belonging to the animal kingdom and the plant kingdom." When we see it in the light of the spiritual sun, instead of seeing death, we see life. There is so much we cannot see, Divine Love and Wisdom goes on to see, if we think of it from our senses. We might think the science has taught us so much today, and yet, as that passage said from the Arcana Celestia, men would be astounded if they were to see what great darkness the world is in today. And it goes on to talk about something when he said, talking about angels from the lower heaven going up to the higher heaven of the third heaven. It said, "When they made their way thither, I have heard them complaining that they did not see anyone. And all the while they were in the midst of the higher angels. Afterwards, they were instructed that those angels were invisible to them because their love and wisdom were imperceptible to them. And that love and wisdom are what make an angel appear as a man." In other words, if we don't see with the eye of love, which is faith, and the wisdom the Lord has given us, the heavenly wisdom, the angelic wisdom, we will not see much of what the Lord has made. We will be, as it were, blinded. But the beauty of it is, as the new church grows, as the dragon is subdued and the harlot is judged, what happens is the holy city can then descend in its fullness. And about this we read, that the city had no need of the sun and the moon to shine in it, for the glory of the God did lighten it, and the lamp is its lamb, signifies that the men of the church will not be in self-love and in their own intelligence, and thence in natural light alone, but in spiritual light from the divine truth of the word from the Lord alone. By the sun here is meant natural love separated from spiritual love, which is self-love. And by the moon is signified intelligence and also natural faith separated from intelligence and spiritual faith, which is their own intelligence and faith from self. This love and this intelligence and faith are here signified by the sun and the moon, the shining of which will not be needed by those who will be of the Lord's new church. By the glory of God, which lightens it, is signified divine truth of the word. And because that enlightens it from the Lord, it is said, and the lamp thereof is the Lamb. And so we return to the tree of life, which, remember, gave forth its fruit each and every month. And it says the reason why that was is because it was according to a state of truth, that we need to have new truths. The word month in the Hebrew language and also the word used here signifies what is new. For a month in the heavenly doctrine is said to signify that which is the end of the old and the beginning of the new. Hence it was that they sacrificed on the new moon when a new faith was coming. Think of a faith that wanes and the moon gets smaller and smaller as we look up at it. But where is the moon moving to? What's going to happen is it's going to go into what's called conjunction with the sun. It's going to pass very near the sun, and at that point it's a new moon. And it's as if faith and charity have been conjoined. And then faith starts growing again. A new truth is given. And these new truths allow us to do new goods. Without new truths, the good is natural. It's from the truth of the word that genuine good is done. And so as our faith increases, as we look up at that moon and see what the Lord made it for, as we believe what the Lord said, not just simply from blind belief, not at all, for there is no need of the sun and the moon, but rather from the light of the spiritual sun and the spiritual moon. When we see it from that light, we will see a world full of life, full of purpose. Every individual that we pass will mean something. We will know that they are put there by the Lord to go to heaven. They aren't just bodies that we pass by. A man who thinks from his senses and only has worldly goals, people are not that important. What he accomplishes is more important. Things are more important. He believes in his senses instead of the word. He believes in himself instead of the Lord. But if a man will turn to the word instead, as a child almost, with that simple belief he had, but believing in the Lord because he knows it's good, then he will have that true faith represented by the lamp, which is the Lamb. And he will have faith, which is the eye of love.